You can find my podcast and other podcasts similar to mine on the Christian Podcast Community at podcast.strivingforeternity.org.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Good morning, podcast world. Welcome back to yet another episode of The Ear. We're going to go off season real quick, and we're going to talk to the recording artist, Janet Thompson, with her new album, Living Proof. And I'm going to take this time to let Janet Thompson tell us about herself.
Oh, well, I am a pastor's wife. My husband and I pastor Bible Assembly in Houma, Louisiana. We've been here 29 years. That's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing. And just grew up loving music. And I have three children, grown children, and just love doing ministry.
Nice. You just published an album. We're going to talk about that, but how long have you been singing?
I've been singing since I was a little girl. Since I was about 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old. I started singing in church, of course. I always sang, like my family always said, I sang all the time and, you know, everywhere. And then in church, started singing in church, church choirs, you know, then sang a solo here and there and just had a love for music and had a love for God and, you know, just kept singing for Jesus. So I have sang all of my life.
She just kept singing.
Just kept singing.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and dive into our line of questioning we have. So okay. What is your definition of worship?
So my definition of worship is worship shows honor or reverence for something or respect for something or someone. And also worship is vertical. It's upward. But worship, when you give your time, what you give your time and attention to, that's what you worship.
All right.
So is that good? Good.
I like it. You know, I right now, I guess it's safe to say I worship schoolwork because that's what I'm always doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So do you play any instruments?
I do. I play the keyboard.
How long have you played? Are you professionally trained or have you taken piano lessons?
I took lessons as a child and just kind of kept playing. And then I just kind of dropped that and just started playing by ear and learning to play with musicians, learning chords with musicians and just really kind of playing by ear.
Nice.
As people say, you know.
I can do neither. Yep. I play trombone. I dabble on keyboard and that's about it. So let's describe what worship looks like and why is it important, more important than music?
Well, you know, worship is more than just a song. A lot of people think worship is a song, but it's not. Worship is a powerful thing. It's a powerful weapon in our lives. When we begin to worship is a lifestyle too. You know, we worship God. I worship God in my life. I worship God with my life. I worship God with my time, my talent, my money. Worship is an expression, but it also, in a different avenue, there's avenues of different worship. So in a worship service, when you begin to worship the Lord in a service, it releases God's purpose in our life. And it, you know, something happens. It's a powerful thing that happens in our life. Because when we focus our attention and our mind and our heart upon Him, then it gets our mind off our situation. And it can really actually change a situation, because if you think about Jonah in the belly of the fish, and he was complaining and just all these, if you read those scriptures, he complains and complains and complains. And then down there in a few verses, he stops and he thinks a minute and said, but I will worship, I will praise you. And he starts giving thanks and praise, and then it turned that situation around. So if we will begin to worship Him instead of complaining, you know, let's let our worship outweigh our worry.
I like it. You know, Presbyterians have this very generic saying, but it punches pretty deep whenever you hear it. You know, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So when I look at worship, obviously I can't carry a tune to save my life. I can't sing. I like to think that I can, but I can't. So whenever a person worships, like, for example, if you and I decide to hit the streets today and go share the gospel with people, that's us worshiping God. And that's also us enjoying God, because we're enjoying His creation enough to share the gospel with Him.
Right.
So, you know, man's chief end is to glorify God and definitely enjoy Him forever.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So what does it mean to have a lifestyle of worship? You kind of touched on that a little bit more, but I want to dive into
that. Yeah. I think it means a lifestyle of holiness, you know, being separated from the world to God, and living your life as the word says, living your life holy and acceptable unto Him, you know, because, you know, when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping Him. So we're just practicing worship down here. So as we live a lifestyle of worship, it creates, you know, an atmosphere around us of peace and joy. And a lifestyle of worship is, you know, just living right with God. That's what I think.
Amen. And I like to look at it like this, too. it's not just the outward appearance that we, you know, we have. It's how we look,
right?
Or how we carry ourselves, how we speak, the actions we do with other people, how we treat other people. You know, there's a plethora of things that actually shows our lifestyle of worship. You know, Jesus says to love your enemy. And if you have enemies, do you love them or do you actually despise them?
Right.
You know, so that's usually a struggle with a lot of people whenever something bad happens. They kind of go the opposite way. Now, can you explain your call to ministry?
Wow. My call to ministry, probably when I was about 16 years old, is when I just felt that, you know, I got saved. I'll just have to backtrack a little bit. Saved as a little girl, 7 years old. But then, as a teenager, I kind of backslid and fell back, but the Lord kept tugging at my heart and wanting me to come back to Him. And so when I did, I gave everything.
Amen.
I fell in love with Him. And so my calling, I've always felt a calling to minister to people, because God saved me. He gave me a peace, you know, that joy unspeakable and full of glory, and that peace that nobody can explain. When things are going around, there's a peace and there's a presence of God that lives with me. And, you know, because I have that, I want to share that with people. I want other people to know that. And I just believe at a young age, at 16 years old, God called me to ministry, and not just a form of, He called me to minister to people. And that is wherever I'm at.
Amen. You know, you said something about God tugging at your heart and you backslid. I want to go and actually say this. You thought you may have walked away from the faith and went and did whatever was best for Janet Thompson. And you thought that was going to be the better way. But God said, OK, I'll let her do her thing. And when I'm ready for her, I'll just snatch her up and she won't be able to escape at that point. And a lot of people get caught up in, you know, well, what can God do with such a horrible person like me? You know, if I can't meet God's standards at being a holy person set apart or consecrated, for his purpose because I'm a sinner, then what can I offer to him in his kingdom? And the answer to that is, like you said, Jesus saved you. He came and he died for us. He gave us that everlasting life. Therefore, you know, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees his son.
Yeah.
So what made you want to become a musician or singer?
I just loved music. I loved music. Even as a young age, I would just watch people playing and singing, and I just loved music.
Good.
So I just wanted to do that. And then being fortunate enough to have music in my family and music in the church where I grew up in, and taught me music. So I just wanted to do it. Loved it.
Awesome. All right. So I have visited Bayou Blue Assembly of God on multiple occasions, especially when I was younger.
Yeah, I remember you.
And I remember, you know, listening, and this is no disrespect, but I'm going to describe it how I remember it.
Okay.
This short, loud, boisterous woman singing at the top of her lungs for everybody in heaven and the whole heavenly host to hear. And, you know, like I love your singing. Every album you publish, I make sure I buy. You know, I've moved so many times. I've lost a lot of things. Some things got broken, and I'm kind of upset about that. You know, but if I ever want to hear Janet Thompson sing, I know where to go.
right.
So, yeah, I can definitely agree that your calling to ministry is a gift that God gave you to worship him. And by you worshiping him through your music, other people are being touched by that, and they're hearing the gospel by that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you can sing, because if I was, you know, the one singing, we wouldn't have church.
Well, brother, it says make a joyful noise, so you can make a joyful noise.
Well, I don't know if mine's that joyful, though. I mean, I make the roaches scatter.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So do you have a good grasp on the Bible theology, and do you consider yourself to be in sound doctrine when you're singing?
I do believe I am of sound doctrine. I know what I believe. Do I know everything? Absolutely not. But I'm a lover of his word. I love studying his word. I've actually taken Bible classes so I can know more about his word and how to minister to people. Because if you don't know right now in this day and time, if you don't know what you believe, it's a dangerous place. So I always tell our people, you got to know what you believe. You know, come to our Bible studies, come to classes, come to New Believers class, because you got to know what you believe. A lot of times people think they know what they believe, but they really don't. They don't know why they believe it. I believe it, and this is why I believe it. So,
right.
I love the word.
And that's one of the things that I don't want to say I trip up a lot of people, but they trip themselves up. Like, for example, you are in Assemblies of God, and I'm Presbyterian. Okay. Yeah. So when it comes to the denominational standpoint, if you will, you know, you and I both believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
All right. But if I asked you, you know, why does Assemblies of God do it this way, and you can't tell me, that's an issue.
You're right.
But if you ask me, well, why do Presbyterians, you know, let's just say baptize babies, and I give you a full exposition on why we do it, then that means I am in tune with what my doctrine, if you will, with my church says about baptizing infants. Yeah. Now, something else that I find interesting is, you know, when you ask a person why they believe that or why their church does it, and they can't give us that answer, they don't, one, they're not fully engulfed in what their church is teaching and preaching. And two, they're just there, you know, and they'll say, oh, I'm being fed by the pastor. Okay, that's great. But you have to know why your pastor is preaching that message. Now, I can go listen to a sermon by Packy Thompson today and tomorrow and actually know what he means and know why he's preaching it that way. And here's why. Because I don't just study Presbyterianism. I study other denominations as well to see what the differences are. And to see how those two denominations compare or, you know, not compare in a sense.
Right.
So same thing with music. You know, music is the way we do music in a Presbyterian church is different from how Assemblies of God does music in the church. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important for every person that attends any type of church to know the theology and the doctrine and the Bible behind what they practice.
Yes, absolutely.
And I say that, I say all of that to say this, that just like my first question, that is part of worship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I want to get into this, this juicy stuff. So you just published a new album called Living Proof.
Yes.
What is your goal for Living Proof?
Well, there's a story there behind Living Proof. We started this CD, believe it or not, in 2020, January, like third, 2020. We started the CD. The goal for me was to have singable songs, songs that could minister to people. As you know, we do a lot of mission trips. Yep. We go to Africa, we go to Peru and different places. And I just needed songs that when I am singing in a crowd, we'll do crusades in large cities, wherever. And I needed a message of Jesus. So I needed songs like that. And so with this album is what something that I looked up, not only just to worship, have worship, a worship CD, but have songs that would minister to people, say, that are on the street and like looking at me, because we go into Africa and I'm a white lady. So I will get their attention being a white woman. They call them Wazungus in Africa. So as I'm singing, I will get their attention, but I want them to know who I'm singing about. I don't want it to be fluffy songs. I want it to be a message in song. So like Divine Exchange is an amazing song that could reach that Waymaker. They know Waymaker there. Actually, it's an African song. It was wrote by an African person. So they knew that song before it came out in America. So that song is a singable song that will reach the African people. I wanted these songs to reach. I wanted songs that would uplift, encourage, and that people could be encouraged, especially. So, you know, we started this CD in 2020. We got started and it was going so good. We had, I think we had like 8 songs down, musically down. And then COVID hit.
Hello, COVID.
So then we're like, pause. And done some, so I was able to go in, do some vocals, and then the background vocals we would do. Now everybody that's on this CD, Brad Jackson, who is an amazing musician, he was living in, I believe, Georgia at that time. I flew him in. He helped us on music. He's in Monroe now. And then we had Simon and Ross Abair help me out with the music to start with. And then we had some local musicians here at my church, Burke Goudreau, and then our Joe Verdran, who actually passed away in last year, which was so sad. He played on it also. But so it took so much time because we all did, you know, we all work and in the ministry or wherever. So we were just getting together when we could. And then COVID hit and it paused a lot. And so we were trying to get more and more and a little bit. And then when we're almost through with it, I mean, almost through finalizing, getting everything done. And we had Ida, you know, that come and just tore everything up.
Oh, good old Ida May.
But in this, I know it's perfect timing. It's God's perfect time because I believe that people need to be encouraged and uplifted. And I believe these songs will bring hope to people around.
Absolutely. Yeah. Agree. I stayed up till, well, I cheated because I worked till midnight the night before. So when I got home, I stayed up till 1 o'clock on Spotify searching for the album. When I finally found it, I listened to the whole thing. I was late going to school the next morning.
I love it.
But it was definitely worth the wait. So yes. What accomplishments do you see yourself achieving in the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh, my gosh. That was one of the questions. Oh, my goodness. Normally, I do set goals and I have goals. But my focus right now is kind of rebuilding our church, because our church was literally destroyed. And so the Lord told me this year to rebuild, refocus, revive, renew. Not only us, our church, but our people and the people of this community that we live in. Yeah. So those are the words there. So I think that's our goal for right now. That's like the immediate goal. Within the next 5 years or so, because it took us so long to get this one done, this album done, a lot of people didn't say want me to do a Christmas CD an album. So that might be something down the road. I'm just going to have to pray about it. And of course, ministry wise, we're not going to do ministry trips this year, because I feel we need to be here. Rebuilding this community and our church until our church is in a good, stable place. But probably in the next couple of years, we'll do more missions trips and, you know, just try to get people saved. I love partner with missions. So I think that's my plans and my goals for right now.
Awesome. Awesome. So I have two favorite songs on the album. One of them is an oldie but goodie for me. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you wrote You're More Than Enough.
I wrote You're More Than Enough in 2002.
Yep. That's right. I remember hearing that song live. And it was it was much more amped up then than it is on the album. And I trust me, I understand why. So that one's my favorite. And then
we was in a service.
Correct, because it was in service. Yes. And then the next one is You Know My Name. Did you write that one?
I did not write that song. That's a Tasha Cobb song. That song, I had to put that song on this album. So in 2018, my brother committed suicide.
Oh, man.
And, you know, that is just a very difficult thing to death anyway, but a suicide is more difficult. That song helped me. Every day I listened to that song for probably months. I'm talking 3-4 months, 5-6 months maybe. I don't know. Every day I listened to that song every morning just to get up, because I know I had to hear it, that he knows my name. He knows my name. He's not forgotten about me. He knows the pain. He knows everything that I'm feeling right now. He's my comforter. He's my counselor. He knows my name. So I knew that I had to put that song on this album just so people would know, because people deal with that. They deal with grief. Grief is a hard thing for people to deal with, but we deal with it. A lot of people deal with it every year, or whatever storm you might be going through, whether it's financially or right now with Ida and everybody losing their homes and just trying to rebuild. People need to know, hey, he knows your name. He knows he wasn't surprised by the storm, even though we were. He's not surprised, and he knows. And, even through the storm, God's doing so much good thing, rebuilding better, you know, people's lives. So we're just believing, and I'm believing that these songs will touch hearts and lives and encourage people to know that Jesus loves them so very, very much.
Yeah. One of the things that I took one of the biggest blows to my career back in December. Not going to get into that here, but it was a situation where the agency that I work for tried to write my name, if you will. They tried to say certain things that potentially could have caused some damaging after effects, if you will. But fortunately, the people that I dealt with and the people that know me and they know my heart and they know that I care about people in general, that was literally, you know, God speaking, saying, okay, they're writing this, but I know your name. Yeah. I know who you are. You're not perfect. You know, you have a lot of flaws, but you're mine. Mm-hmm. And that song, I listen to that song every morning since the album's been out. And it's, you know, yeah, I can go find Tasha Cobbs's version of it, but, you know, and I'm not saying Tasha Cobbs's version is not genuine, but I hear your heart in this version of the song.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if you don't mind, can I hear at least one or two lines of that song?
Sure. You want a verse or a chorus? What you want?
You pick.
Well, let's just see. You know my name. You know my name. Yes, you know my name. You know my name. And oh, how you walk with me. Oh, how you talk with me. And oh, how you tell me that I am your own. Oh, how you walk with me. Yes, you do, Lord. Oh, how you talk with me. And oh, how you tell me that I am your own.
Go head on, girl. Go head on. Man, that's powerful. What I will do is I want you to tell us how we can find this album on Spotify or whatever other music platform. It's out there, okay. So we can get people to go find it.
It is out there on Spotify. If you have Apple Music, it just came out on Apple Music yesterday, I believe. It's on iTunes, or will be on iTunes. I'm not sure if it's there yet, but it will be. It is on Pandora. It is on YouTube right now. Any music genre it should be on that you prefer to use. And then later on, you know, there are people that like good old fashioned CDs. We are having those made and they'll be out probably in the next month or so. We'll have good old fashioned CDs that people who still have older cars can listen to them.
Hey, watch it. I have a CD player in my car. How dare you?
Yeah. Yeah. So those will be out in another month. We just, when we got it ready and we knew we could put it out there on Spotify, different music genres. We knew we wanted to go ahead and do it. Just do it because I love the album. I think it's one of the best that I've ever done. I just love it. I love the music. I love the songs. The songs minister to me. And if a song ministers to me, then I figure, well, it's probably going to minister to somebody else.
Right. Well,
but I have to tell you about the hymn one. Can I tell you about
yes,
that one?
Yes, go ahead.
Because that one was so fun. I just wanted to do a song that brought me back to my childhood and just have fun, good Pentecostal fun. And Brad Jackson and I got together and said, hey, I want these three songs together. Help me. How can I do this together? And he's a genius and he figured out the arrangements. We kind of arranged it together and love how it's I Fly Away, When We All Get to Heaven, and there's one more on it. Can't remember right now. Whatever it is. But anyway, it's just a fun song, singable song that people can clap their hands and sing and stomp their feet, you know. So that's nice. A fun one.
Well, here's what I am going to recommend.
Okay.
And you don't have to listen to me. I'm nobody important. But if you do the Christmas album,
yes,
I like, and I think, and I could explain the theology behind it later. If you do another medley, if you will, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Uh-huh.
Oh, goodness. I'm going to forget the names of it. Are You Washed in the Blood? The Three Bloods.
So you're saying do another hymn medley?
Yes. Yes. Because
with your favorites?
With my favorites, but it's also a message behind all three of them because
maybe blood songs.
Yes. And the reason why I'm saying that is you got Are You Washed in the Blood?
Yeah.
I'm gonna forget the songs. I'm gonna have to text them to you.
Power in the Blood. Oh, the Blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
There was one that me and Pastor Troy sang.
Yes.
The Blood that Jesus.
Yes, that one.
You probably remember that one. Yeah.
Yes. I want to hear that one at least on a Christmas album. And the reason for that is because people, when they think about Christmas, they only think about the birth.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the birth of Jesus, there's a reason for his birth, and it's through his blood that saves us.
Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. So, you know.
So, hey, that's a thought, because, you know, I did put Mary Did You Know on this one.
Yes.
It's a Christmas song, but I didn't know if I would ever, because this CD took so long to make, this album. So I thought, you know, I'm just putting it on here because we've got it done.
Yeah.
And that's the one my husband said you better put on there. So that's what he did.
Got to obey the husband.
Yeah. And then, you know, so our version of that, Burke Boudreaux, who's my guitar player at our church, he arranged that one with me. We arranged that one together, the arrangement that we have. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, that is all I have.
Awesome. Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate it. This was fun.
No problem. Don't hang up just yet. So,
okay, I won't.
Again, to all my listeners, I want you guys to go on Spotify, go on iTunes, or any music platform, YouTube, whatever it may be, and I want you guys to look for Living Proof by Janet Thompson. I will also put a link to her church in the bio. I will also put a link to the Spotify album and iTunes whenever it's released. So you can have those two major ones for sure to go listen to the album. Show your love and support, donate money to their church, and let's encourage Janet Thompson to make another album for many more years to come. So that is all I have. Thank you very much, and God bless.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.